So we'll see. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll have our first song tonight, Glory to His Name. Father, we love you, and thank you so much for your glory. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your name, which is above every name. And Father, I pray that you bless our time together so we can pray together, so we share together, Lord, and we spend time in the Word together. Thank you for your provisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For them. And now, Father, we pray that you would bless our time together as we open up the book of Proverbs again tonight, that you would just bless during our time, that we'd be encouraged and reminded and challenged from the Word of God tonight. I pray that you'd use me, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech, Lord, as we go through our study tonight. We ask in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right, if you have your hand out there tonight, and in the Proverbs chapter number 6, Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll read our text verse again tonight, verses 16 and portions of verse 17, and we'll pick up where we left off in Proverbs chapter number 6, and beginning in verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And we'll try to get through all of those tonight. The word abominations we spoke about last week, which means a disgusting thing, something that is terrible, morally repulsive, or wicked. And we see this word, it appears more than 100 times in the Old Testament, and refers to idolatry, homosexuality, human sacrifices, and occult practices. And so last time we looked at abominations to God, a proud look. And tonight we'll pick up a couple more. The first one we'll look at, letter B, a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Proverbs, again, we've already read our text, verse 17, a proud look and a lying tongue. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22, the Bible says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. The father of all lies is Satan himself. Satan is the composer of corruption, the penman of perversion, the designer of deception, the architect of apostasy, the contriver of cults, and the ruler of rebellion. I think that pretty much covers anything bad, negative, that's not good. We need to be reminded that's who Satan is. He is not someone who runs around in a red outfit with a pitchfork. He's much more than that. His mission in the Garden of Eden was to deceive both Adam and Eve. He succeeded with Eve, but Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. See, liars are repulsive because their speech is untrustworthy. Liars are repulsive because their speech is untrustworthy and at odds with the ways of righteousness. In fact, so many people get so caught up in telling lies, they know nothing else. And I don't know if I'll get this right, but I don't know why I thought of this. How many of you have ever heard of Jerry Clowers? Marcel Ledbetter? Well, a young man, it might have been Marcel, I can't remember, got in a lot of trouble because he was always lying. And he was running around talking about how there's a lion in the yard. There's a lion in the yard. And to come find out, it was just an old dog there that had gotten a haircut just up to his shoulders and made him look like a lion. But he was just going on and on about there being a lion in the yard. He got pulled aside and he got in trouble and rebuked for his lying because this wasn't the first time. Most people felt like this young man couldn't talk unless he told a lie somewhere. So he got rebuked, got taken to the woodshed, so to say, was sent to his room and said, don't come back until you've made peace with God. So he sent him up to his room, and a time and a spell went by, and he come back down. His mother, grandmother, somebody asked him if everything was okay, if he made peace with God. Yes, ma'am, I did. I prayed and I talked with the Lord, and we got everything settled. In fact, the Lord told me he thought it was a lion too the first time he saw it. Some people just can't help themselves. No matter what they do or what they say, they've got to tell what we might call a real stretcher. Liars follow the path that Satan has led for mankind. God hates exaggeration, fraud, misrepresentation, false witnessing, and slander. However, God loves truthfulness. Remember, lying lips, Proverbs 12:22, are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. In Proverbs 51 and verse 6, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. You see, deception and lies hurt people, wounding their hearts and damaging trust in people. The ability to lie is always a liability. Lying hurts you the most. We lie, we tell a lie, we exaggerate, we've got to keep up with this lie, that lie, but really you're hurting yourself the most. Those who are given to little white lies soon become colorblind, and they cannot see the truth because they are numbed by their own dishonesty. If a person dies without Christ, he will spend eternity in hell with all other liars. Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse number 22. Because with lies ye have made the hearts of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars. What a list to be included with. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We see it again in the book of Acts chapter 5, that God's abhorrence for lying, where we see and we are familiar with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land and they gave the impression that all the money they gained, that they were giving it to the apostles. They lied. They could have very easily said, we sold our land and we would like to give a portion of that which we gained to the church, to the group. But instead they exaggerated to the point saying they were giving it all. C.S. Lewis said, a little lie is like a little pregnant. It doesn't take long before everyone knows. I have enjoyed some research on some of these ideas and quotes from other people. Beloved, when we lie, it comes back to haunt us. We reap what we sow when we lie. Here's another quote. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. Sir Walter Scott. Abominations to God, a proud look, a lying tongue. And then let her see tonight, people that kill the innocent are an abomination. People that kill the innocent. Again, back in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 and portions of verse 17. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, which we've covered, and now hands that shed innocent blood. According to the Bible, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And we look at John chapter 8 and verse 41, we see Jesus responding to the Pharisees and the Sadducees or the scribes. And he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Some of our noodleback weak preachers who only like to preach about the love of God and how good he is. Right here, the Bible is very clear. He is very strong and hard against sin. Ye are of your fathers the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And he's comparing them to Satan. See, if only he could have seen the end of the path that she had chose, perhaps, maybe she would not have listened to the serpent. Eve did not realize that the first baby born into this world would grow up to be a murderer. Again, believing a lie. Since the murder of Abel, the blood of men, women, and children have been shed throughout history at the hands of mankind. Those who should be innocent are killing the innocent. And we see a prime example of that, and I know I'm being a little political here, but bear with me. We see a prime example of that with the innocent killing the innocent, with these young gang members in these large cities that are killing people. Isn't it sad today when you stand up and you make an announcement, only six were killed over the weekend? How sad it is. Yeah, the numbers may be down, but still the innocent killing the innocent. Again, something that is an abomination to God. Again, who should be innocent are killing the innocent. The Lord hates murderous hands. The blood-stained fingers of Cain, Ahab, Absalom, Joab, Ahimelech, and Athaliah were repulsive in the eyes of our God Almighty. Our Lord loves life. Think about it. He is the living God, and he gives life and breath to all. Life is sacred, not because man is special, but because God creates it. Heavy will be the judgment on the mothers that killed their babies and the doctors that aborted them. God says that human life is precious, and that when a murderer kills a man, he is to forfeit his own life according to the teaching of the Word of God. You see, the only hope for folks who have done this abomination is to repent and trust Christ as their Savior. But yet it goes on and on and on. There seems to be not much of a deterrent. And I know we live in a different time, but I don't remember watching a whole lot of the news growing up. But I remember in the evening after dinner, Dad sitting down and turning on the television and watching about 30 minutes of the main headline major news and things that were going on that night. And I remember at times listening to it and being instructed, son, I love you, but Dad's got 30 minutes to listen to the news. All your questions that they'll wait till the end or during a commercial break. And listen, you know, even through my teen years, I do not remember all the violence, the bloodshed, and all that's taken place that takes place just over a weekend in some cities today that we might not see in a full year in days gone by. Can we correlate that to some other areas where churches, pastors are dropping the ball and preaching against sin, standing for that which is wrong, teaching the Word of God? I read an article today about a pastor in my home state of Tennessee that was defending Memphis not being the murder capital of the world, how we shouldn't say that there are some good people there. And I thought about that for just a moment. And I thought, now the headline is correct. The stats say that it is per capita, not that more people are not killed in Chicago or somewhere else, but per population is the largest. And I began thinking about that and reading some of the things that he said. But as a pastor, my thought went to, why is he coating over the wickedness? Why is he just speaking out against it and asking for prayer for his city that these young men might be saved, that these young men might get back in the church, that these grandmothers who are probably raising their kids and these single moms would have an opportunity somehow, some way, to get their kids under the sound of the gospel? But instead, we have just said, oh, well, I think sometimes if we could just reach out and pull the chain and flush it, we would. But I still think we need to get back to some old-fashioned preaching the word and in prayer for our community, prayer for our city, prayer for our country that God would change things. A proud look, a lying tongue, people that kill the innocent, and then letter D, the plans of the wicked, the plans of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 and verse 18a. Again, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And then verse 18, and heart that devises wicked imaginations. Now, don't look ahead in your notes. We don't have a whole lot there. But what comes to your mind when you think of that phrase, a heart that devises wicked imaginations? Guys, I know you can talk. We've talked around the table on Wednesdays. Tuesday morning, does this take just a moment? Ladies, you're free to join in as well. But what do you think when you think about that phrase, a heart that devises wicked imaginations? And that's very clear in Scripture. The Bible refers to that. There is none righteous, no, not one. Anyone else? A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And my generation was the start. Because I remember going to school when we pledged a flag, but there was no more prayer. It was a moment of silence. And then later they began taking the Bibles out. And then later they took away the Bible clubs. Later they added some of those back in. And then now some schools don't even have the pledge to the flag. There's been so much change, Michelle.
Yeah.
AI is artificial. And I told the men, ladies, the other day, when our word study was talking about sorry and repentance, and AI is artificial and it is growing. And here's an example. It takes what you put in or search for and adds to information. I typed out, how many times is the word sorry found in the King James Bible? Only thing I can figure was that no one had ever Googled that before me. I don't know. It came back and said zero. So I went in again and I changed it. And I said, sorry is found 11 times in our King James Bible. Where are they? And it came back and gave me all the scripture, all 11. to the point. But just a moment before that, it came back with zero. It's a growing thing. Just like sin and other things are growing in our country and continues in the imaginations of mankind is only... I mean, would you even imagine growing up doing some of the things our young people are doing today or trying today? Now, I'm not talking about technology. Just take technology out. It's crazy. Yeah. Well, again, I read on the news, we'll go to the next thing here. I don't even want to say his name, but this guy recently who had killed the CEO of a health group, and all of a sudden he's been almost worshipped by some of these crazy young ladies. Well, I read an article today where a lady created her own, this person in AI, and married him. Has a marriage certificate and everything. Bottom line is we have a lot of young people that are confused, that are struggling, and all this confusion and things that are coming through technology and other areas is all from Satan, and they are becoming very confused. They don't know, and I'll talk more about this Sunday. And kids are growing up, and they think they can become a puppy. They think they can become, man can become a girl, a woman can become a man. They're just confused, and it's Satan. It's abomination according to the Word of God. The plans of the wicked and heart that devises wicked imaginations. The heart that devises or creates wicked plans or imagination, again, is an abomination unto God. The heart is the workshop where these wicked schemes are shaped. Again, as Brother Mayo, Dr. Hottie mentioned, it's the heart. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. The word deviseth here, and back in verse 18 of Proverbs 6, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, is from the Hebrew word koresh, which means to cut into something, to engrave or to plow, such as land or farming. So, see, when you cut into something or engrave it, in your mind, you have already made a decision. I mean, surely, you pretty much thought it through, whether it's on a piece of wood, a piece of metal. When you start cutting and engraving, it's pretty much permanent. There is no turning back when you cut or engrave something. People today that have this type of mentality are determined to fulfill their wicked imaginations, their thoughts, their schemes, and things that they can even, that you would hope that no one could imagine, but they do. They are deliberately preparing to do wrong. Proverbs 14 and 22. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Wicked imaginations or schemes are an abomination to God. He considers these folks troublemakers. Of course, this is probably a lot harder as we think of the word troublemaker, what we heard growing up or how we use now. Proverbs 24:8, he that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. Oh, how so many words today, biblical words that we somewhat watered down and made them a little softer than what the Bible describes them as. It was the wicked imaginations of the human race that led to the Genesis flood. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Folks, I would dare to say that we're probably surpassed the wickedness of that time. I just can't help but to think with all the technology and things that we have today, we have surpassed the wickedness there described in Genesis chapter 6. Another example is found in the wicked schemes of King Ahab and Jezebel, who lied, cheated, and killed Naboth to get control of his vineyards. Then there's the plot of wicked Haman, who schemed to destroy Mordecai and the Jewish people. But God intervened on their behalf, and they were spared. God turned the tables on Haman, and he was hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. The presidents of the Persian Empire devised a wicked scheme to destroy Daniel. These men persuaded the king to pass a law that prohibited prayer, knowing that this would lead to Daniel's death, because they knew Daniel had faith in God. Going back to Sunday's sermon, he knew that he had faith in God. He knew his consistency. He knew he would bow and pray every single day. But they thought, this is our gotcha moment. This is how we'll get him. Daniel was not intimidated by the death threats of the new law. Oh, how we need more Christians today that are bold in their stand and bold in going forward and bold in keeping their positions no matter what changes in our world today. He was thrown into the lion's den, but God gave all those lions lockjaw for the rest of the day. Filled their hunger. They didn't need to eat anything. Deception was a key ingredient of these schemes. And it confirms the truth of Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. And we live in a time and a day where much evil is being schemed. Much evil is being planned and thought out. And I did not read or keep up with all the news that's going on today, but I do know that many things they're talking about with some of the video games and things that were going on, these young people, again, I don't keep up with this, but they're communicating online through video messaging that makes it harder to detect and to find out. And much of what took place was already had been talked about. They talked about again after it took place as how they were able to eventually catch up. But who in the world and how do people think about messaging someone through an app or through a game online to get their message to someone? Trying to hide it, thinking it can't be found instead of just calling or texting. Dear friends, we can't stop the imaginations and thoughts of the evil mankind, but we sure continue to pray. And when we have those thoughts and we have some things run through our head, it's to turn to the Lord to ask him to deliver us from those own things, because the wicked imaginations of mankind will continue to wax worse and worse. But here's the key takeaway. We must remember it's an abomination unto God. Brother Mel?
Jeremiah, shortly before Israel goes into Judah and goes into captivity, and he makes the statement, they can't wait to wake up in the morning to divide people.
Yeah.
To carry out the people. I mean, they literally can't wait to wake up so they can do people.
So here's the hard task that we have before we dismiss. Don't be shocked. Wow, I'm going to get through early again. It is an abomination, a proud look, a lying tongue, people that shed innocent blood in the plans of the wicked. And even though it might be it is an abomination, and we've looked it to God, that means it's a disgusting thing, something that is terrible, morally repulsive or wicked unto our Lord. But in spite of all of that, he gave his son to die for these people. And we are to still pray for them and pray for our country. And if God hates it, we can hate it too. We know the saying, hate the sin, love the sinner. But we must remember it in our prayer and how we deal with things. If it's an abomination to God, then we need to treat it as such as well to make sure in our life that we can still pray for those that live that way to make a difference. Let's pray. Father, again, we love you and praise you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us, and for the clear teaching of the Word of God that shows us those things which are abomination to our Lord. Help us to see things the way you do, but also, Lord, help us to see things the way you do in love, that we might pray for them. Father, we can separate from things. We can stay away from things. We can separate from people and still pray for them and still go before the throne of God. Father, help us to stand against those things which you stand against, but Father, also do it in love and out of love. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love tonight as for a time of fellowship around our building and our foyer. And Lord, we're so grateful for our church family. We're grateful for you and the facilities that we have, and we ask you to help us to continue as we serve you to see the world and people and things the way you do. We ask these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be help to you, please do not hesitate to ask. We'll continue through verse 18 next week as we go and look at as well as not just devise the wicked imaginations, but feet that be swift to running to mischief, and a false witness that speak of lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren for next week.